Well, welcome everybody to a special Law Day edition of the Omaha Bar Association Bar Talk podcast. I'm Dave Summers, Executive Director of the Omaha Bar Association, and I am here today with Kate Folsom, Editor-in-Chief of the Nebraska Examiner, who is our 2024 OBA Public Service Award recipient. The Nebraska Examiner is not unknown to us at the Omaha Bar Association. They've been at our medical legal dinner last year in 2023, and the Daily Record actually reprints a lot of their articles. So, Kate, welcome. Thanks for joining.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
So, if you could take us back to the beginning of how Nebraska Examiner came about, and I think that was maybe January 2022 is officially when you launched?
It launched January 25th, 2022. And so it all started with Paul Hamill, honestly. He became interested in this organization called States Newsroom because of some coverage he saw out of Kansas. And he thought it would be a good idea to try to start this type of organization in Nebraska. And so he started asking everybody, you want to do this? You want to do this? And he called me and wheedled me into getting involved. At the time, I was retired. I retired at the end of 2019. And this was midway through 2021. Of course, you had all the craziness of the pandemic. But we kept talking about it and kept talking about it. And I decided to take the plunge and get involved. And so obviously Paul was involved, and then we talked to more reporters into getting on board and launched in January.
And when it launched, there were four of y'all, right?
Yes.
Three reporters and you?
Yes. The Nebraska Examiner is affiliated with States Newsroom. It's a national organization. And so it has, that's its model. Plant four journalists, one editor, three reporters in a state to focus on state house news, state level issues. So that was our model, so that's what we have.
And there are, and I went to the State's Newsroom website so I could ask the right questions here. I see there are 39 states where essentially they've used that model. They're affiliated with State's Newsroom.
Correct.
Where there wasn't necessarily that nonprofit model focused on local government, state government news first and foremost.
Right. Yes. Their idea was to get into as many states as they could with this four-person nonprofit model. And they just hit their 39th earlier this year with Utah. And then in addition to that, they ended up merging with a group called Stateline, which does regional coverage, government issues and so forth. They had been operated by Poynter, and Poynter decided to kind of shed that. It didn't see it as being part of their core mission. And so they looked around for someone to partner with and liked what State's Newsroom was doing. So we have that outlet. So that's kind of 40 mm-hmm. outlets. And then in the remaining 11 states, we have partnerships with other nonprofits. And so we really have coverage available in every state at this point.
And so we should probably take the listeners through the difference between nonprofit newsroom, news outlet, and for-profit. We have Omaha World Herald, and we have the Daily Record here in town, and then we have you guys. What's the difference?
Well, they want to make money.
Ah.
We operate as a nonprofit, which means we put out a newsletter 6 days a week. There's no charge. We don't have a paywall to get into our articles. And we really operate as a public service. And so our news is available for any other news outlet to republish free of charge, as long as they give us appropriate credit. So the problem that for-profit news outlets are having is just a changing advertising model and changing tastes in terms of how people want to access their news. But they're struggling. I haven't seen really recent numbers, but Pew Research did a study in 2022 and concluded that newsroom employment dropped 25% between 2008 and 2018. Mm. And at newspapers, it was 47%. I mean, wow. That's staggering.
And we've certainly seen that yeah. here locally.
Yes.
I know that a number of y'all have had experience at Omaha World Herald, if not every single reporter that
everybody
started.
But our young guy.
Yeah.
Yes, we spent many years. I mean, I spent my career at the World Herald.
Yeah.
And as did Cindy and Paul for the most part. Mm-hmm. And Aaron spent several years there as well. So, yes, we love the World Herald. You know, it's like family. Mm-hmm. And it's difficult to see the decline, I think, overall in newspapers as they can't afford to, you know, employ as many people. And if you have fewer reporters, you have less news. It's just yeah. a fact of life.
And it's I just, you know, my walking the dog down the street yesterday or the day before, man, that I could barely even see that Omaha World Herald wrapped in the yellow cellophane because it was so darn thin. So little content.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, they're still doing good work. So is the Lincoln Journal Star. Mm. You know, every newspaper out there is still doing good work. It's just becoming more difficult to sustain their operation. I can't speak more for them,
sure.
but you see it visibly in the size of the paper.
And so you're all online. It's a newsletter and it's a website. And there's no print version, unless
Correct.
You want to print out the
yes,
the webpage.
On your printer.
Yeah, yeah. And that people will ask, I think, how do you keep functioning then? So how does State's Newsroom do so well to keep their model going if it's not for profit? There's still money being spent to cover costs of all the employees.
Yes, that's true. There's less overhead if you are not putting out a print product
yeah.
because the you know the newsprint costs alone are skyrocketing. Mm-hmm. So they don't have that. They don't have to maintain a printing press, mm-hmm. another huge cost. So yeah, it's much more efficient economically to simply publish online. And so that's why you see more and more a push to do that, whether it's by nonprofit or for-profit mm-hmm. News outlets.
I would assume that there's maybe some grant funds and some benevolent donors that just want to see good news coming through
yes.
that are supporting the cause.
Yes. A State's Newsroom is a 501c3, mm-hmm. and they work hard to seek out grants and then donors, and we look in the state for donors, you know, our supporters, people who like what we're doing. We hope they will help support that.
But what needs to be very clear here is that the money in or the prospect of getting money in does not in any way affect what you all are reporting on, how you're reporting on it. It really is not influenced by money or potential money.
Not at all. I have never had anyone tell me don't print this, do print that, change your viewpoint. That's absolute. We are editorially independent. Mm-hmm. And State's Newsroom maintains a list, so you can go look and see who the donors are if they gave $500 or more. And they update that. They were doing it about once a quarter. So, mm-hmm. yeah, so there is transparency there.
Yeah. And so over this period of time, this last 2.5 years, or a little bit less than 2.5 years, the volume of stories that Yale put out, you said 6 days a week, and it is seriously 6 days a week. I subscribe, I have to admit it. And there is so much content, so many local stories here in the state. I'm just blown away by it. And I don't have the numbers on the tip of my brain, maybe you do, on just kind of sort of the volume of what you've all been doing.
You know, I've been too busy producing newsletters and stories lately to check the numbers, but last time I did check, in 2023, is over 1,000 stories.
Wow.
And yeah, with a 3-person reporting staff. It amazes me. But yeah, we just crank it out, and especially during the legislative session, mm-hmm. we're kind of resting a little bit now, although
sure.
we do have the primary election coming up. But during the session, yeah, we put out an amazing number of stories.
And walk us through some of the kind of the division of labor. I can think, I've seen stories from, is it Aaron Sandiford? Is that?
Aaron is our political reporter.
Political reporter, right.
He does other stories, but he's primarily focused on politics.
Okay.
Paul Hamill took the lead role on legislative coverage. Mm-hmm. Cindy Gonzalez focuses more on development news, labor and growth, employment issues, housing issues, and a variety of other things. Zach Wendling, who's a young UNL graduate, he lives and breathes politics and state house coverage. He just really gets excited about it, and he's kind of our wonky guy who likes spreadsheets and data. So
well, and it's interesting to look at the government side and how the legislation goes through in that process, but then to understand better the game of politics, right? And the positioning and maybe even the infighting that goes on in parties, which I think is a topic right now.
That's a good current topic.
Yeah.
And it's not just in Nebraska. You see it across the nation.
Mm-hmm.
Where I think the political parties, both of the major political parties, I think are struggling with disparate views by different people, some of whom are more progressive, some are more traditional. On the Republican side, you've got the traditional views and now much more conservative, populist type views.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all wrestling, I think, with who they are and where they're going.
So, not to give away any trade secrets here, but as you've gone along and as the news coverage has grown and it's really shown itself, have you found it easier to find stories? Are you getting more tips and more leads and easier confirmation of stories? Is it getting bigger, better, easier as you go along?
Well, I really think I started with a dream team of reporters in the first place. And so they all walked in the door with decades of sources. And that's simply continued. What I found interesting, just a little story from when we first started, we spent... I had Paul and Cindy working about 3 weeks before we launched. And Cindy one day complained a little. She said, you know, I feel like the first 10 minutes of any interview is explaining who we are, what we're doing. And, you know, it's like, the Nebraska, what? And within 1 week after we launched, she came back and she said, wow, now I don't have to do that at all. It's more like, oh, I know who you are.
Yeah.
And so we got that awareness among Nebraskans very quickly. And so I was very proud of that. And it's continuing. And I won't say everybody in the state knows the Nebraska Examiner, but of people who are involved in government and politics definitely are aware of who we are. So I wouldn't say we have some exponential growth in tips, but I think we certainly have continued interest in tips, and we can never have too many. So if you know of something, talk to us.
Yeah. I'm not very up to date on the kind of award side of things. I don't know if y'all have put in any stories for awards or, but I'd like to know generally if you have some stories or some series of stories that you're really proud of that's been done over the last couple of years.
Yes. Unfortunately, the awards are on my to-do list.
Oh, sorry. Didn't mean to bring up a sore subject there of the to-do list. Yeah.
That's one thing that I have dropped the ball on in terms of hunting down contests to enter. But yes, I definitely have a list of stories that we are all quite proud of. You know, our mission, I guess you'd say, is to produce a hard-hitting daily flow of important news and scoops, and to, keep the light shining on government so that we know if there are problems, we know how things come to pass in addition to what comes to pass. And just really watchdog reporting.
Mm-hmm.
So I think one of my favorite examples of that recently was two stories Paul Hamill did on the head of the Department of Economic Development for the state of Nebraska. And we raised questions about how the director was using his official state email to invite people to campaign events,
mm-hmm.
and how he was using his a cigar lounge that he is part owner of, and kind of having lots of meetings there and doing some other things. And we produced a story on a Friday, and then we developed that further and produced a second story on that Tuesday. And on Wednesday, he resigned after protesting that this wasn't fair and he wasn't doing anything wrong, but he was out the door in less than a week.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and the governor, you know, made it clear he wanted things to be above board in his administration. So I just think that's the kind of news that we should be doing. That's the kind of news we all should be doing,
mm-hmm.
because we're funding government and we ought to know what's going on, and it ought to be done appropriately and with propriety.
And that kind of brings me to sunshine laws. How have you found the requests for information? This is a government agency. This is government data. Please produce it. How are we in Nebraska? And if you have any comparisons to other states or things like that, I don't know. But I'm always curious. Are government officials giving you the information that you're requesting that's taxpayer funded?
I think we're seeing more issues with that. I see a couple of things going on. I do believe that a lot more people are seeking data from government. And so the government is in part saying, this is overwhelming us and so forth. But I, even so, they do have an obligation. That's the way the U.S. government works. It's public information, and public information should be available to the public. And I always like to make the point that this is not an issue for the press or for journalists. We are representative of the public. Any one of you could go and ask for this information. We're just, and we are citizens and residents like anybody else in this state. So I always get a little annoyed when people try to say, well, that's just because of journalists, you know. And say, no, we're here to get information to the public, and we are part of the public. But we're seeing things take longer and cost more. And I'm going to forget the details of this, but the legislature did step in this year and make it clearer that you know, certain exorbitant fees could not be charged.
This would be copying fees or time spent charges that the press has
or
to pay?
Special fees. There was something in the law that allowed a vague concept of special fees to be charged, and the legislature made it clear that was should not be done. So we'll see. We are getting, I mean, we don't overwhelm the state with our requests, but and we always try to keep our requests narrowed, you know, focused on what we really are trying to find out. So we're getting the information, but in a recent request, the state made it clear that they had a big volume of requests and it was taking quite a bit longer, but they didn't say no. Mm-hmm. They just said, hang on, we'll get to you when we can.
Well, and we've heard, we've had a CLE with election officials and the Council for Douglas County Election Office, and just the volume there when it comes to our elections and people wanting to know exactly what the process is like, and they want to turn over every single stone to make sure that it's above board and everything like that. It has been pretty phenomenal how many requests they're getting.
Right.
And actually, we just did a podcast interview and tour of the Election Commission office. Mm-hmm. And looked at the whole thing. He, you know, Brian Cruz, the commissioner, said, take pictures of anything you want. You know, let's go through every single room. Let's look at it all. Mm-hmm. It was a very thorough interview and tour. And it was eye-opening to see the scope of that, but also just the openness, which should be there. And
yes.
He desperately, maybe not desperately, but he very much wants people to understand that there's nothing here to hide,
mm-hmm.
that this process is safe, secure, and open in all the ways that it should be. So,
yes.
Yeah.
So you were asking how we compare to other states, and
yeah.
I'm not an expert on this by any means, but I have observed that some states are making Nebraska look pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Kentucky. That recently decided that in order to sit in the gallery at the state house, you'd have to get a ticket ahead of time. And so the editor was saying, have you guys seen anything like that? And I'll say no. So yeah, so they're limiting who can get in and monitoring, I guess, tracking who will get in. Some legislatures close their proceedings to the press. They won't let press in, and we still have access in Nebraska, and I credit the legislature for that. And I hope it continues.
Yeah, there's very rarely a closed session on anything. Are the votes now, votes for leadership, those aren't made
those
public?
Those are still secret.
Yeah.
There's been an argument going on for years about that, you know, shouldn't everyone know who their legislators are voting for leadership positions. And then there's the argument that in the unicameral in particular, that people struggle with that, because if you cross over and vote for someone from the other party, then is that going to cause problems?
Right.
So,
right. As a non-political, supposedly, position, right?
Nonpartisan legislature.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, this isn't, should this have to be a party line vote, or should you look at a person's credentials and leadership capabilities and base your vote on that?
So how have you seen the openness of the judiciary, of the courts, to your reporters and to anything that you're trying to access? Because we always want to know how we're doing as one of the branch of the government.
No, I have not heard any complaints, and I think my reporters are pretty good about establishing relationships with the clerks and with the courts. We obey the rules, and we haven't had any issues that I know of.
Yeah, and I know Paul Hamill has been very instrumental on the media committee that's been going on now for a couple decades to try to open the courts more and more to members of the press, to allow recordings, to allow them to report. And so I think he's done a really good job on that. And it shows just in the last 10 years, the difference in scope of reporting on matters in the court because they've allowed in reporters. And judges are more comfortable. They understand. They're not trying to block it because they don't understand what's going on. So I'm glad it's gotten better. But I was wondering. And, you know, there's that one judge out in western Nebraska who's trying to still basically live stream all of his cases. I don't know if that's gone anywhere. That was kind of a, well, other states are doing it, let's try to do it here. I don't think that's taken off. But I'm always curious to see if we're going to start doing that in Douglas County. Be good for the law students to see what's going on in real time. So, again, if there's not a high cost and if it's something that we can do to let the public see what's going on, what their tax money is going towards.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? As long as you're not releasing any information, you know, for minors or things like that, or maybe victims of domestic violence, that stuff needs to be sealed. But generally speaking, open court, I think, is a good thing. So
yeah, we appreciate the work of the committee and the willingness of the Bar Association to work with us.
Yeah. So where does the next 2 years take the Nebraska Examiner, do you think?
Well,
a short crystal ball. We're not
part of it is
to.
More the same.
Yeah.
I should point out that we're kind of grieving a little bit right now because Paul Hamill wore out and he retired last week.
Oh.
So that is a very painful thing for me. He's just an excellent reporter, and just his decades of experience really show. And so we were at four reporters for a period of time, but now we're down to three again. And so what I see in my crystal ball is that our donations will increase to the extent that we can hire a fourth reporter. I really would like to see a fourth reporter to help replace Paul. Paul's kind of irreplaceable, but at least that would help.
Yeah. And so most focuses on what's happening in Lincoln, state-level government politics, but there are certainly stories that come out of Omaha and what's going on here. So wherever the story takes you.
Well, yes. I mean, really our focus is on state issues or state-level news, but if something is happening in Omaha that has a link to state taxes or development funding or anything, if we can provide that link, then we will go after it if we can. One example would be, when we first launched, we broke the news that Mutual of Omaha was moving from its midtown location to downtown. That wasn't a state issue, but it was major news, and we went after it. And we've been covering developments at Nebraska Crossing in terms of major developments there. Is it a state issue? Not directly, but they're certainly seeking state funding to help them get it going. So, yeah, if we can make a connection and we've got the staffing, we're there.
I'm always down for deep dives into publicly financed stadiums, especially hot button issue. I do see a lot of question marks that come up, and there are a lot of people saying it's not worth it, other people saying it absolutely is worth it. I think we just have to know how much money we're spending on it.
Yes.
To just get the full picture before it goes for a vote, which is a fascinating issue. I've sort of run out of all the questions that I had for you. Is there anything that I didn't cover that you really would like to let the listeners know?
I think you've done an excellent job of
do I have a job offer in the pipeline? Kate.
Give me your resume. No, I guess my late pitch would be if you like what we're doing, if you appreciate what we're doing, please consider sending us a donation, because that is the thing with nonprofits. It does not happen unless people support us.
Mm-hmm. It's just changed so much, as we talked about. The business of news reporting has changed so much. You can get content without necessarily paying for it, but that doesn't mean there's a value to what's being what you're consuming.
Yes, there's a value, and it doesn't come free.
Right. There's a cost, yeah.
Yes, we are a nonprofit, but I do need a salary.
You do, so you do like money. Yeah.
Yes, and there are still costs beyond even the talent pool that, like any business, you need to fund. So.
Well, thank you for the time. We look forward to seeing you next week at our Law Day lunch to give you the award, and look forward to getting your newsletter every single morning and reading it and passing along to other people. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me here.